recorded live in the Phantasmo Lounge high atop the Deco Malley Building in beautiful Midtown Portsmouth, Virginia. It's Phantasmo After Dark with your host, Rob Floyd. And tonight's topic, The Beast Must Die. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the old podcast here. Tonight we're going to talk about The Beast Must Die, the Amicus film. I think the only werewolf film they ever did. But hey, before we get into that, if this is your first time listening here, this is Phantasmo After Dark, the cult movie and such podcast, cult movies, weird movies, strange things, and tangents galore. And sometimes I have a co-host, most of the time I have a co-host on here with me, and sometimes it's just me, like tonight. It's just me and you. And since I have you alone, I'd like to talk to you about something very important. I'd like to talk to you about safe sex. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about The Beast Must Die. But again, before we get into that, got to run over a couple of really cool things coming up in this area. If you're going to be in Norfolk, Virginia, or around or near within driving distance of Norfolk, Virginia, in at the end of September of this year, 2017, or throughout October, there's some amazing stuff coming, horror movie-wise, anyway. Starting September 29th, the Narrow Expanded Cinema, Suspiria, is going to be shown. You got to see it in a theater. If you're going to see it at all, you got to see it in a theater. That's, I believe, at a regular show, 9 o'clock. Then the next night, September 30th, late show, 11 o'clock, 11:30-ish, something like that. Romero's original Day of the Dead. Oh, man, to see that in a theater, it's going to be awesome. Skip ahead, October 6th, Nightmare on Elm Street. The original Nightmare on Elm Street, late show, in the theater. The next day, they're showing The Gate as a late show, but we have Monster Fest, one day convention, monster horror stuff, 70 tables worth of vendors, we got live bands, but that night we're showing Hammer's Plague of the Zombies and Romero's Dawn of the Dead. And that's free. So come out and see us at that. Check out the Monster Fest Facebook page and the Monster Fest website for more info on that. At the Narrow again on October 14th, Phantasm is a late show. Man, I cannot wait for that. That's going to be awesome. And then on October 20th, regular show. Actually, it's a Flick It Fridays program. Check that out on Facebook. Evil Dead 2. So from the end of September through October, there's horror movies galore in theaters around here. Classic stuff. It's going to be amazing. Check it out. Now, tonight here, we're talking about The Beast Must Die. This film, it's a really interesting werewolf film because there's really not much of a werewolf in it, to be honest with you. I have seen this numerous times over the years. I still remember the first time I ever saw it was on Dr. Madblood when I was really young, staying up real late, watching Saturday Night Live, and then when that was over, 1 o'clock in the morning, Dr. Madblood's movie comes on, and he showed this movie, The Beast Must Die, and I just ate it up. One thing, Peter Cushing's in it. So, right, you had me from the get-go, you know. And I've watched it numerous times over the years, and we showed it just the other night at Phantasmo, Cult Cinema Explosion, double feature cult movie program we do every other month at the Chesapeake Central Library here. And the crowd, you know, they liked it. Some people like this movie, some people hate it. I really like it a lot. It's not that great a movie, I'll be honest with you too, with that. But it is kind of fun. It was interesting seeing it with this crowd, because they enjoyed it. The one thing they did all agree on is that the lead character, and it's supposed to be this big game hunter, and he is probably the worst shot ever for being a big game hunter, even with a machine gun. He can barely hit the broadside of a barn. He misses the werewolf entirely, but blows up a helicopter. And, you know, thank God, so the helicopter didn't turn into a werewolf. But let's, real quick, the cast in this film is really, really something. Calvin Lockhart plays the lead character, the big game hunter. And if you like blaxploitation films, you've seen him in Cotton Comes to Harlem. I think he was in Let's Do It Again. He was in Uptown Saturday Night. He was Biggie Smalls in Uptown Saturday Night. He's got this great presence, this great big booming stage voice, and he holds it together, makes a movie move along. Peter Cushing is in it. He has a real small part, not really much more than a cameo, but you know, anytime you can see Pete on the screen, that's gold. Other people in it, Dumbledore's in it. Michael Gambon, very young Dumbledore. Charles Gray from Rocky Horror and James Bond. He's Blofeld. I believe Diamonds Are Forever, I think. And numerous other things over the years. And let's see, Marlene Clark. Now, you say, who's Marlene Clark? Well, Marlene Clark, I know her from, she was John Saxon's secretary in Enter the Dragon. So that's that, another familiar face. And Anton Differing, a German actor who was in tons of things, many of which escape me right now. So just take my word for it. He was in lots of stuff. You got Google, don't you? Okay. So there's the cast. So you got a pretty decent cast. And there's a few other people in it. But the basic plot of this thing is this big game hunter invites a few of his friends to his big palatial estate for the weekend because he knows that one of them is a werewolf. And he wants to prove it and hunt down the werewolf and kill it. And so it's the werewolf version of Agatha Christie's Ten Little Indians. But it's handled really well. The biggest problem in the thing, like I said, is you really don't get much of a werewolf. The werewolf itself is really just an Irish wolfhound is what they used. And they put bigger fangs on it and wrapped it in some bulkier fur to make it look bigger. And it's a good thing they shoot most of it when it's running and in the dark because it really doesn't look that good. But that aside, it's a fun little film. And it's shot pretty good. It's got some interesting shots. It's not a ham-fisted approach to it. It doesn't look like a low-budget movie, that's for sure. And the music's great. It's great just 70s action music. it's worth it for that alone. A couple other interesting things about this one. It was it's taken from a short story or a novella, I think, called There Shall Be No Darkness. And it's written by James Blish. Who is James Blish, you ask? Well, his name may sound familiar to you if you've read any Star Trek books. He wrote a lot of the original Star Trek novels in the early 70s, and then he wrote this. So I really like to read this book because, from what I understand, the plot is a little different. It's basically the same plot, but the characters are a little different and the motivations and everything. So I'd really like to find this. If anybody out there has it, let me know. I tried to look for it and can't find it. This is the second British werewolf film to come out. The first one was, of course, Curse of the Werewolf by Hammer in the 60s. And this is Amicus, which is like the bastard cousin of of Hammer. I like Amicus stuff. They put out some fun stuff over the years. It's definitely not Hammer, but it has kind of a Hammer feel. I mean, it's a British film company. Why not? It should. They use a lot of the same actors. But Amicus definitely does have its own feel to it. And, you know, a lot of their stuff was with the anthology stuff, like Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror, was it Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, stuff like that. And I think it was in, actually, the third werewolf movie, if you want to even say it's the third werewolf movie, it was the first segment of Dr. Terror's House of Horrors. There was a werewolf story in that, if I'm remembering it correctly. If I'm wrong, let me know. Drop us an email at PhantasmoAfterDark. That's PhantasmoAD@gmail.com. Or on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page and tell me I'm wrong. Or tell me I'm right. Or just say hello. Or tell us to shut up. Or something. But, you know, hey, we'd like to hear from you. Another interesting thing about this is, now if you've listened to some of the other podcasts, you know that I love Robert Quarry. And anything he's in, he's just a gas to watch on the screen, no matter what role he's playing, particularly the Count Yorga films. I love him in those, and we're going to have to do a podcast on those sometime. I believe we did Deathmaster a while back, but I don't think we've done Count Yorga yet. He was originally considered for the lead in this, which I would love to have seen how he played this part in this character, because I don't think I've seen him play this type of character before. Usually he's playing a bad guy. So that would have been really interesting to see. But they picked up Calvin Lockhart when they wanted to kind of cash in on the blaxploitation craze that was going on. And I believe this was coming around. It might have been at the tail end of it. I don't know. But it's a good choice because, I mean, he's great in this and really moves it along. And like I said before, he's got that great stage voice. And he almost chews the scenery a little bit, almost overacts it a little bit. But that just kind of adds to the grandeur of this character, I think. And it's a lot of fun. Still, love to have seen Quarry do this. Now, as far as werewolf movies go, you're not going to get much of a werewolf in this if you're expecting a good werewolf. It's not like Legend of the Werewolf, which you only get in little bits, but it actually is a werewolf. It's a man, you know, in werewolf makeup. And of course, Curse of the Werewolf is just awesome. But what you do get in this is you get the werewolf break. What is the werewolf break, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. it's the same gimmick that William Castle used in Homicidal, where at the end of the film, the movie stops and a clock comes on the screen and counts down like 30 seconds or a minute or something. And a narration comes across in this and says, "Have you figured out who the werewolf is? You have 30 seconds to decide, is it?" And it names off each of the characters while the clock is ticking 30 seconds for you to figure out who the werewolf is. And it's great. It's a great little gimmick. And people really dug it when we showed it the other night at Phantasmo. Out of a crowd of, I think we had about 30, 35 people show up for this, two of them actually did guess who it was. So, you know, it does a good job of throwing you curves and making you guess one way or the other in the film. I mean, I gotta admit, I didn't guess the first time I saw it. I didn't guess who it was. Usually I can pick stuff up like that. I do believe this film is still available and isn't that hard to get. You can go on Amazon and look for it. There was a couple of different releases of it over the years, and I think one of the releases is in an Amicus box set, if I'm not mistaken. I think the release I've got might be the Euroshock edition, where I think that's the one that has the movie poster on the cover. The movie poster is fantastic, by the way. I'll be posting a bunch of pictures on the Phantasmo After Dark, the Facebook page, of course, you know, when this goes up, and I'll put the trailer up there again. The poster is really cool. It's got a moon and then a wolf's face in the moon, and of course, it's got little insets underneath it of all the suspects that could be the werewolf. And, of course, the taglines over the top. It's really a neat poster. I wouldn't mind finding a copy of that, or especially the insert. I think the insert looks really cool. The inserts are the long, skinny posters that are like half the size of the theatrical posters they used to have in the 60s, 70s, up through the 80s, and they stopped using them. I don't know why. They're really cool. And they take up less space. Maybe that's why. Maybe they just wanted the big... Of course, that is the idea of the movie poster, is to catch your attention. So bigger is better if that's, you know, in that aspect. Even though most movie posters these days kind of suck and there's no real artwork on them. And a lot of times it's just floating heads or just a big picture or just a Photoshop mess. Not much creativity in movie posters these days. The older ones were really cool and garish and sometimes a lot of painted art and just really something fun to see and really sold the movie to you. Maybe had a scene from the movie, or like this one, use the gimmick idea of figuring out who was the werewolf. Not today, where most of the time it's just, you know, the actor's heads floating around real big, and who cares? Who cares? We know who's in it. We can read the names at the bottom. Now, this episode's probably going to be kind of short this time, because, like I said, it is just me here in the lounge with you late tonight talking about this film, and... Next episode and episodes after that, hopefully I will have some of my co-host friends and compadres here, and we will be discussing some other films and bouncing things back and forth. It's always fun time when we can do that. But I would definitely suggest checking this film out if you get a chance. The Beast Must Die. You know, it may even be streaming on YouTube. I don't know. I haven't even checked that yet. It'd be worth a check if you get a chance to do that, but it's probably better if you can get it on DVD. Like I said, I check Amazon on that. There's a couple of really cool sequences in this film. The very beginning of it kind of throws you. It leads you one direction. You think it's one thing is going on, and it starts out with the guy, the lead, Calvin Lockhart, that's the hunter. It has him running and being chased through the woods. And if you've never seen this before, which I'm spoiling it for you right now, you think that he's being hunted, but you don't know that he's the lead of the film or what's going on after that. So these guys are hunting him through the woods, and every time one of them catches up to him, they stop and don't shoot him and let him go. And he stops, and he'll stop and he'll see a microphone on the ground, or he'll stop, look up in the tree and see there's a camera, and you're like, what the hell's going on here? And then finally he gets into this open area, and you see his this big mansion and all these people having tea outside, and they're looking over at him, and then all these guys come out of the woods behind him with guns and they shoot him and he falls down. And his guests all run to him, and it turns out he was just kind of pranking them, and he starts laughing and gets up. But he was testing all the equipment on the grounds to find the werewolf is what it was, because the next scene shows him in this hidden room in his mansion talking to Anton Differing. He's got this wall of TV screens, and they're talking about the microphones and all this. And then the next scene, he's confronting his guests, why they were all invited. And there's some nice snarky lines back and forth between him and Charles Gray and a couple of the other characters. And then he reveals that he brought them there because he wants to find out who the werewolf is. And then it moves along from there. Like I said, it is really not the greatest film, and you can decide for yourself whether you like it or you don't. It's one of those that I'm kind of surprised that I do like it as much as I do, because it does have its faults. And as much as I love werewolf movies and, you know, werewolf stuff in general, this not having a werewolf in it, per se, I shouldn't like it as much as I do. But it is one of those that I put on a couple times a year, or I'll put on while I'm working on something and have it on, you know, in the background beside me. And it's fun. It's like I said before, it's not a bad made movie. It just suffers from, it may drag a little bit in a couple spots, and it suffers from no werewolf. But other than that, it's a fun little movie. Everybody that watched it when we showed it at Phantasmo, I didn't hear anybody say anything bad about it. I mean, yeah, they laughed. They laughed at the snarky lines, and they laughed at when Calvin Lockhart couldn't shoot anything. But other than that, they enjoyed the film. So that was kind of neat to see. And it was a broad crowd, too. It was some younger folks, some older folks, some all across the board. It wasn't any one type of person there at that showing. So that was kind of neat to see. But give it a chance. You know, if you can find it on Amazon or somewhere, or if you live near me and want to come see it, you know, just let me know. I've got it. We can watch it anytime. And, you know, make your own judgment on it. And when you do, you know, drop us a line on the Phantasmo After Dark Facebook page. Let us know whether you liked it or not. I'd love to hear other people's opinions of this film. Especially, you know, any of the stuff that we talk about on here, feel free. Drop us a line at the Phantasmo After Dark email. One more time, that is phantasmoad@gmail.com, phantasmode@gmail.com. Oh, by the way, I want to just give a quick shout out there. Congratulations to Phil Ash for winning our Remo the Destroyer book giveaway from our last podcast on Remo Williams' The Adventures Begins. That was really cool. I'm glad you won. Thanks for playing along. And, you know, hey, maybe we'll do some more giveaways with some of the other podcasts coming up just to check, see if anybody's actually listening. We'll probably do something in October, I think. We'll see what's going on with that. That could be kind of cool. I got some ideas for some episodes. A couple things we've talked about, but we just haven't been able to make happen because of logistics in the lounge here, trying to get some people, some guest hosts via satellite. And trying to get together with some in person. But maybe we can make something happen here in October. It's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be busy October around here. And like I said, if you're near Norfolk, Virginia, or Chesapeake, Virginia in October, come on out to Monster Fest. Come on out to the Narrow and see some of the cool stuff we're showing. It's going to be amazing. And again, this is a short one. I think that's going to be about all for me tonight on this one. Not a whole lot more to say about this. It's a cool little film. If you like it, great. If you don't, that's cool too. I'm going to watch it again regardless. So that's about it. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. Good night.